Hebrews answers the most important question. How can I stand firm in a world that is falling apart? You know how? You build your life on one man who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome and thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes his series, Jesus is Better, with part two of the message, How Important is Chapter 13? Now here's Pastor.
You know, He's not only the great shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd, amen? In John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Later on, Jesus said in John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, I have a relationship with them, and they follow me. And then the next verse, he says, and I give them, as a gift, I give them eternal life. And no one will ever be able to snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Amen? Oh, what a glorious, glorious word. He's the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd, but he's also the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, it says, when the chief shepherd appears, boy, he's coming. And not only that, one of the prayers that I pray that David penned, and I pray it as a prayer, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And if you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, I think it's verses 4 through 7 are right in there. It talks about how, what does the good shepherd do? If one sheep runs away, he leaves the 99 and goes out and finds the other. Amen? That's what he does. Now look at verse 21. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that word, make you complete, that's a great word. Make you perfect. It literally is used so many different ways in the scripture. If we studied it out, that word there in the Greek would be for, like for a doctor, it would be to mend or restore a broken bone. For a sailor, it would be used in scripture to mend a net. For a sailor, it would be to outfit the ship, you know, for a voyage. And if you're a soldier, it would be to equip you for battle. Now, what does it tell us? It means, loved one, that you have already been equipped. Amen? Listen, he has equipped you. But listen to me now. This is so vital. He has equipped you for one reason. Look at it. It says, make you complete or equip you in every good work to do what? Oh, did you see that? To do his will, not your will. Man, listen, it's God, do your will. God's will for us is better than anything we could come up with. Amen? To do his will and working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. How in the world can we do that? It says through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. John 15:5. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Now he says, and I appeal to you, brethren. He said, bear with me, or bear with the word of exhortation, that encouragement. That's what this letter has been. Keep on running the race, in other words. For I have written to you in a few words. You think 13 chapters is a few words? Man, it's barely under 10,000. He says, now watch what he does. Know that our brother Timothy, does that sound like Paul? Yes. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free. Now, does this mean set free from what? Set free from sickness? Set free from prison? It could mean, remember what Paul told him. Remember the last letter of Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. What did Paul tell Timothy? Timothy, get to Rome. You've got to come here. I'm in the Mamertine prison. He said, listen, he said, bring the parchments and bring my coat and everything. And then in verse 21 of 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, Timothy, come before winter. Now, if he came there, maybe Timothy was in prison there. I don't know. We're not told. But it says, Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes when? Shortly. Did he tell Timothy to come? Yes, he did. Now, greet all of those who rule over you, all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be to you all. Amen. And again, Paul is the only New Testament writer that closes with this. That's his signature, if you will. Grace be to you. Even though Peter, in 2 Peter, closes, about the grace of God, it's not the same as it is here. Now, that concludes the study. Now I want to talk to you about the whole thing. How's that sound? I'm going to ask you a question. Did the Jewish believers, because it's hard to understand here, did the Jewish believers, did they die in AD 70 with all of the other old covenant there, the Jewish men, women, and children? Because again, over 1 million people, Jews, were slaughtered in AD 70 there by Titus and the Roman army. Or did the Jewish believers that this letter was addressed to, did they escape? You remember I asked you and told you how important chapter 13 was. Amen? I also said it's not an afterthought. And I also told you it has a glorious conclusion. What I want you to do is go back now to verse 11. And let's just start right there. And let me just talk to you about a few things. And just bear with me. It says, for the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned where? Outside the camp. Therefore, based on that, look what the writer does. Therefore, Jesus, that he might sanctify his people with his own blood, suffered where? Outside the camp, out of Jerusalem. Now, and he uses the word therefore, meaning based on that, again. Therefore, let us go forth to him, where? Outside the camp. What camp? Jerusalem, bearing his reproach. Why? For here, Jerusalem, we have no continuous city, man, but we seek the one that is to come. Now listen very carefully. Let us go. The writer includes himself and the Jewish believers, and this in Scripture is a final warning, okay? Now, what I didn't quite understand, because I kept praying about this, Lord, I know there's something more. I mean, this is my fourth time, I think it is, to teach through the book of Hebrews at this church. But I've never seen this, what I'm about to share with you. So when I started looking at this, these 25 verses, they just kept gripping my heart. Because see, when I came back from that fishing trip that I didn't catch one fish on, remember? And I will never go fishing again, except for men. I was going to come back and just finish all 25 verses. But in my prayer time while I was away and just going through Scripture, because I wasn't preparing anything, just on my own personal time, it kept coming back. I'm going, Lord, there's more here. There's more here. What do you want? Do I not finish it? What do you want me to do? Because I wasn't getting it. So I realized when I reread these 25 verses, especially the verses I just read to you, let us go outside, let us go forth. In the Greek, there is an urgency in his writing. And he's saying, literally, get out of Jerusalem. And these key words there, outside, let us go, are for here we have, listen, they're important. Now, I'm not trying to be cryptic. You understand? Or mysterious. And I don't believe that Scripture has some kind of secret codes and, you know, where you can do all that kind of stuff, okay? But in this last chapter, I understood through the grace of God how important these 25 verses were then and how to survive, written on how to survive the horrible Holocaust, if you will, the destruction that was coming upon Israel, and they were there in Israel. Now, listen, what really happened to the Jewish believers? And here's what I did. I took the urgency of these scriptures, especially verse 11 and following, I took the urgency of these and I said, okay, let us go. Let us go outside. Here, for here, right now. See, we have to be a Jew for a moment. Are you with me? Okay, you got to be Jewish. First century Christian Jew. Temple still standing. And it said, for we don't have a continuing city here anymore. All I've ever known about to vanish away from me. So get out of Jerusalem and go where? I mean, okay, where do you go? If you're going to get out of Jerusalem and Rome is already there, the 10th Legion of Rome and Titus and other legions, the Antonia Fortress, all are full of Romans. And the revolt, was it going on? Probably. Where do you go? I know where they went. That's what makes my study, this finish, the way it finishes, it just blesses me. It blesses me. I mean, I am so thrilled. Can I share it with you? Okay. Now, what we're going to do is going to go outside of the Bible for a minute. Is that okay? And so I started researching, and listen here, let me get Pliny the Elder. Now, he was from AD 23 to 79, so he was there. He saw what was going on. Now, listen, he was a Roman author, and he wrote about, in one of his writings, about Decapolis, okay? And then Flavius Josephus, in his book on natural history, he wrote about Decapolis as well. And then Pliny, though, he was the first one to list the names, it says here, of Decapolis, the cities in Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities, okay? Now, let me just give you a list, a partial list. I'm going to give them all to you. Damascus, Philadelphia, Gadara, Hippos, and Pella. Everyone say Pella. Very important word. Now, from the Archaeological Encyclopedia of the Holy Land, not from me, from that, from my book in my library, Decapolis, it means 10 cities. Used three times in the New Testament. Jesus visited there and so forth. You can look up those scriptures when you get home. It's located on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, right across the Jordan River. It says that Pompey placed the cities under the authority of the governor of Syria, not Rome. Are you listening? They enjoyed a municipal freedom, having their own courts, even their own finances. With authority, they could even make their own coins or money and reckon according to the local laws. Again, the Archaeological Encyclopedia of the Holy Land. Can I give you another one? Are y'all with me? Okay, let's use Eusebius, one of the church fathers. He was a Gentile Christian, 4th century. He was also an author. He says this, the Christians fled Jerusalem and made their way to Pella. Pella. How about Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, okay, of the antiquities? Here's what he said. And listen, he was an eyewitness of, he worked for Rome. Do you understand? He was a Jew, but he wasn't a Jewish believer of Christ. And he was an eyewitness of the destruction of AD 70. You could read his book. I have one by him in the library. Now, it says he records that the Jewish Christians fled the city of Jerusalem to the city of Pella. Say it again. Pella. All right, how about this one? The Jewish Virtual Library. During the Jewish revolt against Rome, AD 66 to 70, Jewish Christians migrated to Pella. All right, can I give you another one? I'm going to anyway. Easton's Bible Dictionary. These are my library that I have. It says, Hippos, Gadara, Pella, to which the Jewish Christians fled. Just before the destruction of Jerusalem, Pella became an important Christian center in the later period. Christianity had a growing influence of the cities, meaning the 10 cities. For example, 17 churches have been unearthed in that area. Think about that. How about one more? The New Bible Dictionary. The Jewish church retired to Pella before the war of AD 70. Now, those are extra biblical, but I want to prove it now that they didn't die. They made it. And after all these years, I'd never seen that, nor have I ever heard it taught. It just blesses me, man. Listen, the Jewish believers did something. The first century Jewish believers, they read or had read to them the letter of Hebrews. Amen? But they also believed that letter. They believed it and they acted on it. And what did they do? They left Jerusalem and they did something. They waited out the war in what city? Pella. Oh, listen, but there is one more proof that you got to get under your belt. And what I want you to do is turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, verse 20. Now, and before I read that verse to you, it's important that you understand something. The Gospels, okay, they were written right after the death, resurrection, ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that they were all written before AD 70. Now, in Matthew 24, in Mark chapter 13 and in Luke chapter 21 talks about the end times and the great tribulation period, all those things, but it also contains the predictions of Jesus concerning the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. However, not one of the Gospels tells, none of them record the fulfillment of that happening, only the prediction. Amen? Are you following me? Very, very important. Why? Because they were all written before AD 70. If not, they would have recorded the destruction. Are you with me? Okay, now, Luke chapter 21, verse 20. This is Jesus talking. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, was Rome surrounding Jerusalem? Absolutely, we know that. So when you see it, when you see this happen, then know that the desolation is near, the destruction is near. What did Jesus record for us in every one of the Gospels? Not John, but everyone. He said, not one stone, when they were looking at the temple, oh, how beautiful it was. Jesus said, let me tell you something, not one stone will be left upon the other. Amen? Not one, they're all going to be thrown down. Well, did Jesus, what he said, come to pass? Yes, and he also said, now, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Not yet, but it's happening. Then, what do you do? Then let those who are in Judea. Now, I want to stop. This here, what Jesus is saying, this is not global. This part has nothing to do with the Great Tribulation period, although other scriptures are used as the Great Tribulation period. This is local, not global. Are y'all here? Okay, let me read it. Then let those in Judea, again, local, not global, do what? Flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her, what? Depart. Get out of Jerusalem. And let not those who are in the country enter. In other words, don't even think about coming to Jerusalem. You stay out of here. Why? For the days of vengeance, not the days of God's wrath. That's the Great Tribulation period. The days of vengeance are justice. Not Rome's justice, God's justice. Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Amen? Jesus said, oh, if you'd only know, he was weeping over Jerusalem. Only if you'd known the day of your visitation, your hour of grace. But now it has passed from you. It's passed from you. He knew what was going to happen. This vengeance, rejection of the Lord. For these are the days, thank God, not years. Amen? Not the 7-year tribulation period. You know, the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing baby in those days. Again, this is local, not global. It's not the Great Tribulation period here. It says, for there will be great what? Distress. Where? Well, in the land, meaning the land of Israel. And wrath upon his people, meaning the Jewish people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led away captive into all nations. Did that happen? Absolutely. They were scattered over all of the world, loved one. Listen, again, over 1 million died. It was horrible what Rome did to the Jews. And Jerusalem will be trampled down by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Listen, when did the time of the Gentiles begin? Not in the second temple. This is Herod's temple was the second temple. It was in Solomon's temple, 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army, they destroyed, man, Judah. They destroyed the temple. And it was horrible. Then they took him into 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Now, in the time of the Gentiles, when is it going to be fulfilled? Well, that's just the second coming. Now, the Jewish believers didn't die. Boy, that blesses me. See, they made it. They escaped to Pella, and they live. Why? They live because they believe God's word. They lived by faith, the same way that we are to live. But the non-believing Jews, what happened to them? Well, in AD 70, they lost their homeland. In AD 70, they lost their capital. They lost their temple. Loved one, listen. They lost it all, but they did not lose their God, and they did not lose their identity of who they were. Because after 2,000 years of going and being in all of the nations, what happened? Well, in 1947, there was a man named Truman who happened to be the president of the United States of America. And in 1947, of course, the war was now over, and no one wanted the Jews with the Holocaust, not to help them, especially Great Britain. So what did Truman do? Remember what he signed? That declaration that Israel could go home, that Israel could have their own homeland, their own nation, go back to their homeland. That was May 14th, 1948. Israel began a nation again. No nation in the history of mankind has ever been destroyed like that and then brought back. Only the Jewish race. They are now, that is our clock. We are watching Israel because we know that Jesus is coming for us first. Amen? Yeah. Now listen very carefully. Now, is God done with Israel? I'm going to do a series that's coming up next Sunday about end times. What's going on in Israel? What are we really facing? And things like that, okay? But right now, listen carefully. Paul said in Romans 11:25, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until, meaning the blindness is only temporary and will remain temporary only until, and it says, the fullness or the full number, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then he says, and all of Israel shall be saved. That remnant, that happens at the second coming. Listen, God is not through with Israel. Amen? You know, as we say goodbye to this incredible study, and it has been, for me, it's been a blessing. And the thing is that, you know, here we are, the only book in the entire New Testament calls Jesus Christ our great high priest, tells us how good Jesus is, that he's supreme. He's better than anything. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua, Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. We have a better mediator, better promises. Amen. He's a better sacrifice. Oh, listen, it just gets gooder and gooder with Jesus. Amen. That's right. Man, there's no one like Jesus. He's a surety of the new covenant, the guarantee. He's obtained it all. Our sins are forgiven and they're forever forgiven. Now, I want you to know something. Jesus could come for us right now, and he may come tonight. I don't know. But I know this. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:37, yet for a little while, he who is coming will come, and he's not going to tarry. Listen, are you ready? You see, if you're not ready, you're in trouble. And the only way to be ready, Jesus, be ready. Be ready. For I'm coming in an hour you know not. The only way to be ready is to stay ready. Amen? And he's coming. He may come now. For us, oh, how wonderful. Lord, it's gone forever. But he is coming. Now, until he comes, I don't know how you think you should be living. I know you know, but I'm challenging you. There is only one way for a Christian to be living now on this planet. The same way the Jewish believers did, and that is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. If anyone draws back, it says, draws back from faith, believe in God. God says, I love you, but my soul has no pleasure in you. And he says, but we're not those who draw back to perdition. But no, we're the ones who go on believing to the saving of the soul. How important was the study of chapter 13 in Hebrews? Loved one, listen to me. How important was this chapter? It saved the Jewish believers in Christ from certain death. You know what Hebrews does? Listen to me now. Hebrews answers the most important question. How can I stand firm in a world that is falling apart right before my very eyes? You know how? You build your life on one man that never falls apart, that never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is he? His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You that are listening live on the radio in this chapel, if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you something. Here's a warning. It's an urgent warning. It says, let us go forth to him. Why? You don't have a continuing city here. Fort Worth, my home. I'm four generations. I don't care. It's going to pass away. Do you understand? You're either going to leave the city, which means leave the world, or you're going to die. Do you understand? Because the only thing that awaits this planet is destruction. The world is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen.
The benediction that concludes this letter seems to gather together the major themes of the book: peace, the resurrected Christ, the blood, the covenant, spiritual maturity, and God's work in the believer. Jesus is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Our shepherd cares for his own in the past, present, and future. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We want to thank you for listening. God bless, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words: love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.